David and Goliath. David and Goliath. You may be familiar with the story. Or maybe they're just a couple of names that you've heard used together. You're not sure actually where it's come from. In your small groups, I hope you had the opportunity to read through some of what took place between the Israelite army and the Philistine army in the Valley of Elah. But even if you've heard this story lots of times, I want you to hear it again tonight. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but try to bring ourselves into the story. Because maybe you're going to hear something tonight that God wants to say to you right here for what you're going through right now. Because we all face challenges. We all face struggles. We all have fears and doubts from time to time. So we need to know and hold on to what God says in those times when we feel like maybe we're getting slammed. When it feels like we're coming under attack. Now, I don't know if you've ever come across some Goliath-looking people. You might have been thinking about some people in your family, at school, that, man, they're huge, like Goliath. So before we go any further, I want to give you some perspective. Now, obviously, in the world of basketball, you can get some pretty tall players. So I did some research at the NBA. Now, this is going back just only a few years, but Yao Ming, 2.29 meters. Would you want him on your team? Then Manute Bol, 2.31 meters. Just a slight advantage, but I mean, the other guy's still got a pretty good leap. And around about the same sort of height, another guy, George Murison. Another monster. And outside of the NBA, there's a Chinese basketballer and actor, Sun Mingming, 2.36 meters. 2.36 meters. And girls, just to make sure you don't feel excluded, tallest female NBA player, Margot Dydek, 2.18 meters. I wonder if they get charging fouls or just stay away. However, the tallest man in medical history is Robert Wadlow from the USA. Last measured, he was 2.72 meters, 8 feet, 11.1 inches. 8 feet, 11 inches. Can you imagine the effort they had to go to find a room big enough? Okay, we're just going to set the camera back and try and make sure everyone's fitted in. Can you imagine school photos? Imagine the photographer coming. They would freak out. At least they wouldn't have any fights within the class as far as who the tallest was. But with all those examples, we come to the story of David and Goliath. And we read that that Goliath was 9 foot, 9 inches, 2.97 meters. So he's even taller than Robert Wadlow, nearly 3 meters. So here are the Israelites on one side of the valley, Philistines on the other, and this Philistine champion, Goliath, comes out and he strikes terror into the hearts of the Israelites. The Israelites had been in battle before, even with the Philistines, and they'd had victories. They trusted God and God was with them in the battle. But for some reason, this battle seemed different to them. This battle appeared to hold a greater challenge. This battle looked too big. Goliath puts out a challenge. He's ready to hurt them. He's ready to crush them. He is ready to slam them. I'm calling my message tonight, Slams and Slings. Slams and Slings. Say to the person on either side of you, watch you don't get slammed. Watch you don't get slammed. Watch you don't get slammed. I want you to realize that you and I are in a battle. We're in a battle. Maybe not a physical fight, but there is a warfare going on within our lives, within our spirit. There's a wrestle, a tension, a conflict between who God has created us to be and who we want to be through our own selfish nature. It's the gap between all God has for us and where we remain because of our own preference and our rebellion against God. It's that gap, and that gap is called sin. It's missing the mark of what God wants for us. The word sin comes from the translation of a word used to describe an arrow that misses the center of the target. There is a battle, and you're in it. There's a battle and you're in it. And it's taking place over where God wants us to be, close and in relationship with Him, and where we prefer to be because we think we know better. We think we know, we've got everything sorted out and know what's good for us. And when you strip it back, the champion who comes against us is ultimately the devil himself, the angel who rebelled against God. Pretty heavy stuff, but it's reality. Do you ever feel the battle? Do you ever feel the battle that's going on? The fact you come here to a youth group at a church on a Friday night suggests you kind of know there's something going on. There's some kind of battle. You kind of know there's something happening, and whether you've been here a long time or you've just started coming, maybe you've experienced a struggle or a conflict within you, that something's happened, or there's some pain, or there's some tension. And perhaps you're not sure what it is and not sure how to deal with it. But let me say again, there is a battle and you're in it. There is a tension. And I reckon you often feel it. The Israelites felt it. They were facing off against it. 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. It's like he's taunting them, harassing them. Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants or slaves of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. Verse 10, then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Goliath taunted the Israelites. He was hurling abuse at them. He was slamming them and trying to intimidate them. The enemy will try to intimidate. The enemy will try to intimidate. The enemy we face will try to intimidate you, whether it's doubt, it's fear, guilt, maybe shame. These can be part of the strategy to keep you from trusting God. Trusting all God has for you, it's like the enemy says, forget the battles you've won before. Forget the victories that you've had. You're just like slaves, really. You're a joke. You're nothing. You're no one special. The enemy doesn't care about your past victories. He just wants to make sure you don't believe you can have any more. And he will do everything he can to distract you. Do you feel the battle? I know I do. At times I feel like, you know, the trouble is approaching, the tension's building, that wrestle. Taunts getting louder. There's the temptation to give in and stop trusting. Stop trusting what God has for me. At that point where I feel like I'm getting slammed, there's an enemy who loves the tension. And there's an enemy who loves our attention on the tension. To be so consumed by what's happening, that wrestle, that battle, that actually our eyes get off God And we become consumed by what's happening within us, that battle that's taking place. Because when our hearts and minds get distracted from God, that's when we get slammed, that's when we get crushed. Isaac, you want to come up here, mate? When we get slammed and succumb to the lies, we begin to feel trapped and bound up with fear. It can cripple us. It can hold us back. It can stop us from saying yes to Jesus. It can stop us from having freedom in life, knowing what it means to worship and trust God. It can cause us not to experience life to the full because we're so caught up and bound by this stuff. The enemy will try to intimidate you. You're a joke, you're nothing special. Look at you. Look what you got yourself caught up in. All these lies. Trying to slam you, bringing to mind the sin in your life that you struggle with. I wonder what it is. It might be for you. I wonder what it might be that possibly is causing you to feel restricted. Is there some stuff that's happening in your life? Whether it's something you're watching, something you're doing, saying, hearing, believing. Is someone telling you you're a loser? Is someone telling you that you're not capable of a breakthrough in your situation? Is someone telling you that you don't belong? That's starting to cripple you. Yeah, we can go through life thinking that this is how it's supposed to be. This is what life is for me. We get slammed and we're left to carry the weight of our worry throughout our day. We think it's normal. And we try and put up with it. We try to cope with it. Never experiencing the life we've been created to live. Back in our story of Goliath and David, we hear verse 11, and hearing Goliath's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. For 40 days, Goliath came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Along comes David, he reaches the camp. Just as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other, and David ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. And as David was talking, Goliath shouted again, his usual defiance, his taunts. The Israelites saw the man. They all fled from him in great fear. They saw him, they heard him, and they retreated. I wonder what is something you may fear, or what's something that intimidates you. Are you hearing and listening to taunts that I'm not good enough? I'm not loved enough. I'm not even noticed or included. I am a joke. I'm a nobody. I'm a loser. I'm no one special. Are you starting to hear those things from others or even in your own mind? Of not believing the truth of what God says about you. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had Simone and Tash last week have talked to us about who God says we are. But the enemy doesn't want you to recall that. Don't remember that stuff. I've got some other stuff you need to remember. And we know that we should be like David. You know, we should step out and be bold and be strong. And we're told to think about having that courage like David had. Face your giant. But I reckon we're more like the Israelite army at times. coming out each day, lining up in their battle positions, shouting the war cry. We can be like them in a sense that we come here and we sing and we shout and we worship and we declare how powerful and great God is. But as soon as we're faced with a challenge, maybe we step back instead of stepping forward. Yeah, but Pete, you don't understand what I'm up against. You don't know what I'm going through. And maybe that's true. And I'm sorry if there is stuff that you're dealing with, as we all do. But I'm sorry if there's things which are just constant for you. And you're uncertain of where the breakthrough is and how and when it will come. And please know that you're amongst people who love you and want the best for you and want to walk with you on the journey and be there for you, do whatever we can to help you through. Not just to pray for you and say, see you later, but how can we go and journey this situation with you? I want to bring some good news to the heat of your battle. Because I reckon we've all got something going on that we see as a challenge. I want to show you something tonight in this story that I hadn't actually thought of before until I spent some time reading and reflecting and praying this through. It talks about all the stuff that Goliath was wearing. He had a helmet. Massive guy, remember? Big head. Easy target, perhaps. Coat of armor. Shin armor. Really thick stuff, really heavy. Javelin with a huge head on it and a shield as well. All these things. Let me ask you this. If Goliath was such a massive threat and such a champion, why did he need all this protective armor? Why did he need it? I reckon you only need that sort of protection if you know you have a weakness. Yeah. I believe he wore all that stuff because he was actually afraid he could be defeated. He wouldn't admit it, but why else would he wear it? And if he was so formidable and such a champion, big guy, why did he need someone to go in front of him carrying a shield? What was he afraid of? Why was he trying to hide behind something? I believe it's because the enemy is afraid of defeat. The enemy is afraid of defeat. And that's something that I often forget in the midst of the battle. The enemy is afraid of defeat. In fact, I would suggest the enemy is more afraid of defeat than I am. Because he knows what's waiting for him. He knows the destruction that awaits him. Excess, my enemy, your enemy, is destined for the pit of hell. And his goal is to take you down with him. He doesn't want you to find purpose in life. He doesn't want you to experience joy in life. He doesn't want you to get closer to God. He wants to bind you, trap you, cripple you, oppress you. He wants to close in on you and taunt you, harass you, accuse you, all these things. He laughs and he mocks you. In verse 42, when Goliath saw David coming out, he despised him. It's like the enemy despises us. He's not interested in us, in our well-being and us succeeding and living a full life. He wants to slam you. But the enemy is afraid of defeat. And what he's not ready for and what he can't defend is a person who says, I'm standing up for the God I believe in. And I won't listen to your taunts. and I won't get slammed by your lies. So now you listen up. I know the one who says I'm worth it. I know the one who says I have purpose. I know the one who says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He's the one I'm listening to. He's the one I'm trusting. So devil, go to hell. And it's okay to use that phrase in that situation. All right. When David saw Goliath, he wasn't concerned with how big Goliath appeared. David was reminded of how great God is. David explained to Saul that it was God who rescued him from the lion and from the bear. And God will rescue him from this Goliath. David knew God was with him. And this is true for us all. God is with you in the battle. God is with you in the battle. Whatever you're facing, when you're faced with a choice in the heat of a battle, do you acknowledge that God is with you? Do you recall the things God has brought you through in the past? We often think, oh, this is something new and I haven't been here before. Maybe that's true, but God's been with you all along and he's probably brought you through some things already that you've just forgotten about in that moment. Take stock. Rest in him. Cast your mind to the things that he's been faithful in previously. Because it will give you strength and courage for the present and the future. God is with you in the battle. And here's the best news ever. See, throughout the Bible, we look for where we can see Jesus because God's word is Jesus revealed to us. So as you're reading scripture, try and find where Jesus is revealed. And in studying this story on David and Goliath, David is what is referred to as a type of Jesus. One who represents who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. So here is David from Bethlehem. Where was Jesus from? Born in Bethlehem. Taking on the enemy, knowing that God is with him and for him. And Goliath, unexpecting it, is hit between the eyes and cut down to size, literally. Isaac. Jesus takes those things which hold us captive. He carried it so that we don't have to. The victory is yours in Jesus. So claim it. The victory is yours in Jesus. So claim it. Now, there are things which try to hold you back from your victory. Don't give into those things. Don't be bound by those things. The enemy has been slammed. Thank God we don't have to wait to find out the result. We know that we can have freedom in Jesus because of the victory Jesus won. The victory over sin, over the taunting, over being slammed. It's ours, but you need to claim it so that you can walk through life with freedom, the ability to worship and surrender as Jesus wants you to. Thanks for having me. What's your battle? What's your struggle? The victory is yours in Jesus. What you think is going to keep you back and hold you down is the very thing often that God wants to reveal himself in your life to give you victory over and empowerment and hope and life for the future, so you can testify of God's goodness and God's strength, so that your enemy, that challenge, that struggle that comes against you, has no hold on you. When you're up against it, when you're facing something, don't get slammed. The victory is yours in Jesus, so claim it. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Take heart. I've overcome this world. Invite the team up. Thanks, guys. Just want to just stay quiet for a moment, guys. Because I want to pray for us. And there might be something that you're wrestling with at the moment, struggling with. We just close our eyes and if that's you, that there is a battle that's raging within you and you're longing for that breakthrough, you're longing for that freedom, that release. I want to invite you to raise your hand. If that's you and there's something going on for you that I need to know that God is with me in this, that God is for me. I need to be reminded that the victory is mine to claim. Surrender before God is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of trusting and depending. You know, David came down to the stream and he bent down and he grabbed 5 stones. Goliath was probably thinking, oh, look at this guy. David had trust. He had a heart which was surrendered to God. God, I want to thank you for those who raise their hands and those who are sitting but knowing there are things that come against each day that it's easy to give in, it's easy to step back, but God, I pray that there is a courage that is shown because of the faith and confidence in who Jesus is and what Jesus did. God, may we be known and seen as those who follow and trust you, even in the valley, even when we're up against it. Because we know that we're not on our own. God, may we have that reassurance that you are with us, fighting with us, fighting for us. And the victory is won because of Jesus. Give you thanks and praise. Amen. Just staying in this attitude of worship. Thinking about God's goodness on your life and what he has planned and purposed for you. I want to invite you to the front. Not just to sing and declare a song and then as we leave and as we go back across the weekend and into next week, we step back. But this is actually a declaration of something that propels us into what's to come. So it's not a case of us retreating. It's a case of, in our faith, we're advancing. We're advancing what God is wanting to do in and through us and through our friends as well. Come to the front, guys.